The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, one and all. It is time for Need to Know. Kip Kiefer with you, as per usual, to talk about, well, whatever is going on in my twisted little mind, and also everything happening around us. And I've got a couple of dual subjects today to kind of bring you up to date on and maybe give you a perspective that you haven't considered or have not heard from others. I'm going to start off on a side note. Yesterday on our radio program, which airs on Sunday mornings in Birmingham, we got a tip early in the day, like early morning. We're on at 9 o'clock in the morning. We got a tip yesterday that there was a lot of turbulence going on down in College Station, Texas. We've been speculating about Jimbo Fisher, the coach of the Texas A&M Aggies, who is paid not a slight sum, let's say, almost $12 million a year to coach that football team, which is inconceivable on the front end. But the fact that they gave him originally a 7-year contract and extended it 3 or 4 more years, I'm not sure which, a couple of years ago when LSU was threatening to steal him away. So basically, this guy had an 11-year deal for $12 million the season, and Texas A&M has performed not horribly, but not anywhere near on the level that those big money oil guys and cattlemen and all the, you know, everything's bigger in Texas. The performance has not lived up to the compensation. So they finally had enough. Now, there was a small detail to that. He has got a guaranteed contract. So basically, to have Jimbo Fisher go away at Texas A&M, they are going to write him a series of checks that will eventually will total $77 million. They're going to pay him that not to coach the team anymore. Back in college at West Georgia College, where I attended for a year, after starting off in Memphis at what was then Memphis State, now it's the University of Memphis, I switched my major from broadcast journalism to physical education, intending to become the next great coach of all time instead of the next great play-by-play broadcaster. I changed my mind after my sophomore year in college because my rationale, and I'll never forget it, I looked around and looked at what coaches were making, and I said to myself, why am I focusing on this? I'm going to have to start off teaching history or something in a high school and being some kind of a lower level coach. These guys don't make any money. I was wanting to make the big score early on in life. So I abandoned my plans to be a coach. And now look at the situation. If you are a coach and you fail spectacularly, they write you a check for millions of dollars to go away. It is the ultimate profession. If you're successful, they keep throwing more money at you. Your agent plays you against every other college. So people will keep upping the ante. So if you win, you make billions and become famous. And if you lose, you make millions and become famous. All of us should have gone into coaching. And I still think, as I sit here and second guess every decision that coaches make on Saturday and Sunday, and of course, I'm always right. Most of the time, I think I could have been very successful in that particular vocation. But Next life, we'll know better. That was not the two subjects I was going to cover, but I did want to say that I'm proud of our little radio show here in Birmingham, because we have great contacts and great folks associated with us. And we actually were on the air at 9 o'clock with the news that Jimbo Fisher would be let go as head coach at Texas A&M later that day. And it actually, the announcement was officially made about 11 o'clock, but our sources and our great producer confirmed that information. And we went on the air with it 2 hours before the national media even had it. And it kind of continued a real pattern that I'm proud of with my radio partner, Terry Quillian. We have been very good in our years on the radio here in Birmingham, both in sports and in our news politics format, to really be well ahead of others on talking about issues. And sometimes it's a scoop. Sometimes it's being first with the information. But a lot of times it's just looking at things from different angles and coming up with the solutions to things that are mystifying and baffling people trying to sort it all out. A lot of times, as I've told you here on the show, it's a situation of following the money or just applying something that I fear we've really lost in this country, and I don't know why or how to get it back. But common sense, if you go back and you kind of put events together in a sequential kind of exercise, a lot of times what doesn't make sense is perfectly clear. And we were really good at doing that in our news politics format, where if you still watch Fox News ever and see the primetime commentator Sean Hannity, who always to this day continues to brag that his show and his staff and himself got everything right in all of the Russia controversy. Donald Trump was a Russian agent. The $50 million almost year-long investigation by Robert Mueller's committee of Democrat lawyers who were anti-Trump all the way around. It was like a group of chickens investigating Colonel Sanders, and they found nothing because there was nothing. It was made up. It was a false story, and we called that and pieced together all of the conspirators 10 months before Sean Hannity ever came on the air with his conclusions. So every time he brags that they had everything right, I always say, yes, Sean. I talk right back to the TV. I say, yes, Sean, you certainly did. 10 months after Terry and I broke it in Birmingham, Alabama, on a local radio station. So anyway, a little braggadocio today, a little bit of satisfaction that we're still on our game, and I'm really glad to be able, and thank you for indulging me in sharing that, because if I don't stand up on the soapbox and shout it, it doesn't get heard. So I'm very gratified that that situation is the case, and I think we do great work, and it's one of the reasons that I'm really driven to keep my voice in the public forum because of moments like we experienced yesterday. On to other things. Last Tuesday, there were four or five states that had what's called off-year elections. Now, there's some states that kind of go their own direction. Typically, the presidential elections, of course, every 4 years, 20, 24, 28, usually on that even number pattern. You have midterms in between the presidential elections because the House of Representatives are replaced completely. All 435 of them are up for re-election every 2 years. Now, senators linger for six, and if they serve five or six terms, which is kind of standard in this day and age, you've got the same people up there for 30 years, which is absolutely asinine. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. But the bottom line is you don't see many elections in the odd years, 21, 23. And of course, this is 2023. But Virginia and Ohio and a couple other select few states had some activity. Virginia completely changes both their House and Senate, the state House and Senate, every other odd year, which is an odd situation. But with the momentum in Virginia of Governor Glenn Youngkin, who completely came out of nowhere to beat established politician Terry McAuliffe 2 years ago in the 2021 election in Virginia for governor, Youngkin took command and has been revolutionizing Virginia politics, because the state, you talk about a very interesting political state because of the proliferation and the rapid expansion of Washington, D.C., the greatest growth industry on earth, the federal government, who continues to add more and more and more departments, bureaus, agencies, bureaucracy, and employees. Northern Virginia has become an absolute part of, and it's always been, of course, connected, but now all of Northern Virginia has become a giant suburb for all of these government fat cats operating whatever agency or bureau that they are assigned to. And a lot of these people that are not elected by you and I that latch on to these government jobs there and ride that bucking bronco all the way till the end, when they can qualify for retirement, they can't be fired. They can't be replaced. They're all unionized and protected. So no matter how ineffective they are or how little they actually do, they are permanent parts of the government payroll. And that's why you and I's tax dollars are wasted and continue to go up, because you've got to take care of all of these government bureaucrats. One of the reasons Donald Trump had to go in 2020, the last year of his situation there, he actually started moving toward a campaign promise of, quote, draining the swamp, which he had not really gotten done. It was just a campaign slogan. But after being there and being burned by several of his appointments and finding out that he was getting no cooperation, I don't care who you are, if you're law enforcement, if you're the president, if you issue orders and people do not follow those orders, or in the case of the Department of Justice and the FBI, if you are not enforcing the law and people are able to break it without any repercussions, then the whole system breaks down. It's great to have laws and edicts and orders and regulations coming from the top, but if the bureaucracies do not adhere to those orders or ignore them or don't enforce them, they're just useless. It's just like now the situation on the southern border. We have clear-cut laws in the Constitution of what the federal government is supposed to do, but this administration just chooses not to do them. So laws and regulations are fine. If they're not enforced, they're a complete waste of time and are not even worth mentioning. So you've got a situation in Virginia where Northern Virginia is just this megaplex of DC people now. And of course, in Washington, DC, in the 2020 election, when it was Biden against Trump, I don't think it will surprise you to hear that Donald Trump in Washington, DC, which again includes, not officially, but Northern Virginia is just an extension now, Donald Trump only got 9% of the vote. Now, any candidate that only gets 9% of the vote in any election, that tells you how absurd the distribution of voters there are. And, you know, Trump to get only 9%, because the word had gotten around that he had found a loophole and was getting ready in his next administration to impose and get ready for this. Imagine you're a lifelong fat cat government worker doing nothing but collecting a check. they had shivers going down their spine because Trump had planned in his next administration, in his second term, to implement policies that would allow the government to assess employees and to make people retire or be able to fire employees that are not performing their duties or not living up to standards, or really just making changes. They would not be completely exempt and bulletproof from what you and I experience every day. We got to perform in our jobs or we're expendable. Government workers don't have that problem. And when Trump even word got out that that's what he was working on and that's what he intended to do, was to take away their bulletproof invincibility, the panic button was pushed and he absolutely had to go. They could not allow him to come back and implement that because the gravy train would be derailed. So Virginia, the northern part has become, and this was once a very conservative state. If you know any Virginians, they're very different kind of folks. They are basically still kind of old South in terms of their viewpoint on things. But again, half of the top third of their state, which is one of their major population areas, has been infested with government workers. So if you get down to the southern parts of even the central parts, the coastal parts, the southern parts, I told you Trump only got 9%. In that part of the state, he was getting 65% because it is amazingly conservative and right. And it is a very interesting dichotomy in those two sections of the state. However, with all that momentum and Youngkin sweeping into the governor's office and putting in radical change and kind of bringing Virginia back to being Virginia, they ran into a wall last week because the margins in both the House and Senate were very tight. He only had a 4-seat advantage in the House, and I think he had a 5-seat deficit in the Senate. They ran a monster campaign to try and get that to swing, to give him the opportunity to have two Republican bodies in both his House of Delegates and his Virginia Senate. And a lot of the experts, a lot of the polling seemed to indicate that he was going to be able to do that. But he failed. And the reason he failed, and the House not only did not stay in his hands, it flipped to the Democrats, as well as the Senate staying with the Democrats. Everyone was baffled because of Youngkin's extreme popularity, but there was one fatal mistake that Republicans keep making election after election after election. They are, and I'm trying to think of a graceful way to explain this, Republicans are being completely savaged in their chances to win because they can't leave the abortion issue alone. And right now, Democrats have nothing to campaign on. They can't campaign on the economy, although unbelievably, Joe Biden and Bidenomics is actually something that they're trying to impress upon people, that it is working magnificently because the unemployment rate is down. They're creating jobs, which is an absolute joke because that's not what's happening. So many jobs were lost during the COVID period in 2020 that any statistical situation that shows that more people went back to work, it's taken 3 years to make that adjustment. So the creation of jobs is only making up for the record amount of jobs in an economy that was booming under President Trump. So that's a false claim. Some people have had to go back to work after riding government handouts for years. Basically, all of that is seemingly exhausted finally. So people are having to resume working. But a lot of people going back in the job market have found it difficult and not back in the same range of pay and opportunity that they had before all of the COVID disruption. I challenge anybody listening to tell me that the economy is doing great. Go to the grocery store, go to the gas pump, pay your power bill, and tell me, or go try to buy a house with an 8.5% interest rate, and tell me how great the Bidenomics is working. That's a joke. We all know about border security and what a terrible situation that is. Basically, under Biden, on purpose, the border has been wide, wide open. And we have had people, millions of people from countries all over the world, and most distressingly from a lot of Middle Eastern countries, just flood into this country. And most of them are unaccounted for. We don't know where they are. We don't really know who they are. And we don't know what they're doing. And if you're not disturbed by last Tuesday, when Christopher Wray, the FBI director, testified before the House and the House committee and said, we all need to be very concerned because they believe there are terror cells already in the country and functioning. And it is not improbable that we're going to have a major terrorist event in the United States on our soil, which until that day in September of 2001, we didn't think was possible until airplanes slammed into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and crashed on a field in Pennsylvania attempting to wreak havoc at the United States Capitol building. We thought we were invulnerable. We found out we're not. And now we're really in danger because all of these bad actors, and they've caught 159 of them trying to cross the border that were on the international terrorist watch list. Those people were accosted. I don't know if they were immediately deported and just made another try and walked right in the second time. We really don't know. The statistics doesn't give us any indication, but we know that at least 159 of those were stopped and detained at the border in an attempt to get in. How many of them just walked right in and are free to operate in our country is terrifying. But that's so you've got the administration's FBI director saying that we really need to be on guard, while you have the director of Homeland Security, which has now become an absolute joke, the title right down to the operation of it, Mayorkas, telling everybody the border's secure. We've had no problems at the border. Everything's going great. While tens of thousands of people cross every single day, and they're crossing because the Biden administration, through all of his globalist chums, have put out the word, come to America, we're going to house you, we're going to feed you, we're going to educate your children, come on down with, the water's great. And so we've lured all these people from all over the world to come here because they want to create instability. They want this nation to implode from within. They want to economically destroy this country because the goal is the United States does not need to be a superpower. We need to be a good global citizen and lend our shoulder to the wheel of everybody in the world with our wealth and our strength and our resources. America should be at the table serving all the rest of the world's needs. And that's the goal. And that's a really simple breakdown of what's going on. They want chaos. They want turmoil. They want the economy destroyed here. They want American values and traditions gone. This whole idea of representative government of the people, by the people, for the people is an abhorrent situation in their minds. They're the elites. They're the world's great global leaders. We've talked about the old time, old school European mentality that monarchy and the chosen ones are the people that should be pulling the strings. And then you've got the fanatics in the Middle East that are want to turn the clock back to the 10th or 11th century. You know, any women who support anything happening in the Middle East, as far as this hardcore, delusional, you know, prehistoric notion that these guys with beards down to their belt line are these, you know, brilliant leaders that make decisions. They want to go back to where no one has any rights or has any kind of quality of life. They want to go back to this hardcore Islamic sort of Stone Age situation where women have no rights, where people have no rights, and anybody different, if you're gay, if you have any kind of problem with how the government makes decisions, you are vulnerable to just be eliminated. And that's the people that are in the streets and yelling and screaming in support for this Iranian-backed ISIS group, Hamas, who is really in existence for the elimination of Israel and the Jews. But again, I'm kind of drifted off the subject here because I want to say I got into the abortion thing. The reason that Glenn Youngkin's lost in Virginia is because a lot of the people I just described and the overwhelming majority of women, and I've had it said to me three or four times by women of several different generations that they absolutely resent an old white guy telling them what their opinion on abortion should be. I learned about 50 years ago to completely stay away from that issue because it was basically clear to me that if I offered an opinion, nobody wanted to hear it, especially a woman. Women do not like to be told by old white guys what they need to do. They don't like to. I had a classic example, a 29-year-old white female, a daughter of a friend of mine, said to me in a discussion where I again, believe me, I did not offer my opinion on that issue. She said, I resent any man telling me how I need to live my life and what I do with my body. And that's at the core of this. Even women that are inclined to probably be against abortion are not going to be happy with any man dictating to them what they're going to do. And that's just the modern era we live in. And these cretins in the Middle East want to go back to a such situation where women are not allowed to have an original thought. They do what their men tell them to do. And yet we still have the same people in the streets supporting that kind of ridiculous prehistoric attitude, at the same time voting against people that have great economic solutions and different things to get our country back on track, but they can't stay away from trying to impose policy on abortion, and women are rejecting that in droves. It's an issue the Republicans can't win. They just need to shut up and focus on the other things that they can bring to the table successfully and let this abortion thing play out. Now, the Supreme Court set the stage where every state and the elected representatives in each of those states can make the policies. People running for office and running in offices that are like the governorship and senators and House of Representatives, you know, if you're an old white guy, you can't talk about abortion and you can't give your policy on it because it's going to be summarily rejected. And it's a losing issue for Republicans. And if they want to win elections, they need to stop talking about it and focus on what they can actually bring to the table. So that disruption took place in Virginia. Youngkin's lost the house that he had and did not take the Senate. In Ohio, there were a couple abortion bills on the ballot that went overwhelmingly for the restriction on the number of weeks you could have. It's unconscionable to me that some people support abortions right up to the moment of birth. But that's, again, not something that if I weigh in, my opinion means absolutely nothing. This is a women's issue, and women have to be comfortable with what the situation is in terms of how all that becomes adjudicated. It is not a good issue for anyone else to even weigh in. And that's something the Republicans have learned the hard way over and over, because the Democrats in Virginia spent almost $30 million compared to less than $5 million for the Republican candidates. And the $30 million came from all over the country, from people that wanted it put into one issue. Every political commercial leading up to that election in Virginia was about abortion, and it was about taking away women's rights, and it was about that issue. And that became the absolute focus. It doesn't matter that we're paying $5 a gallon for gas. It doesn't matter that the prices at the grocery store and retail stores and just to live in this country or try to buy a house or pay your power bill, it doesn't matter if those are through the roof. It is this movement on abortion that is the linchpin issue that works time after time. It kept the Republicans from sweeping the Congress in 2022 on a national level, and it's reared its head again in Virginia this past election. And that is an issue that they need to stay away from if they want to affect some change and get some of these extreme left people out of office, because they found a winning issue. And until the Republicans learn the lesson, and they never seem to, so they're about the stupidest politicians that ever walked the face of the earth. We're going to be staying in this gridlock situation with a divided country and a lot of things going very disturbingly, like being warned that we're prone to a terrorist attack because of the same administration's border policy. So if all this nonsense doesn't make sense, I hope that summary does, because that's the issue that is right now keeping Democrats in power, because Republicans just aren't smart enough to leave it alone. I was going to talk about some situations with all these protests. We'll have to save that for next week. All I can say is that this is very disturbing to see the anti-Semitism and all of the support for Hamas, which is not the Palestinian people. Hamas is an ISIS Iranian-funded terrorist organization that wants to kill Jews, eradicate Israel, and then guess who the next target is? Any infidels anywhere in the world who are not on board with this archaic, prehistoric attitude that we go back to basic fundamental Islamic process in terms of running countries and governments and regions. And nobody with a functioning brain can be possibly in favor of supporting that agenda. And especially if you're a female, or especially if you have different ideas, because they have ways of dealing with that. And it's not a pleasant sight, as we saw with the just horrifying murders of 14,000 or 1,400 Israelis on one night of terror in their beds, in their homes, at a music concert. The brutality is something from that 11th or 12th century. And if that's the world that everybody wants to live in, then, you know, keep going in the streets and shouting, wearing Hamas headbands and shouting slogans in support of the most brutal, just ridiculous terrorists for what their agenda and what their vision of the world is unbelievably disturbing to see so many people falling for that. And of course, we've let millions of people in the country who are right in the middle of all that, carrying the flags of their respective nations. They're not here to be Americans. They're here to get the free stuff and continue to support whatever warped agenda they have. It's a lot different than the immigration, the legal immigration of many of our descendants, including my families, who came over and legally went through the process because they dreamed of being an American. These people are not here for that purpose. They're here because we've lured them here with the promise of all kinds of great things And now it's gotten so bad because the old adage, give a mouse a cookie and he asks next for a glass of milk, is what's happening in our country. And something needs to happen to stem this tide. I'm Kip Kiefer. That's what I thought you needed to know today. And we will be back next week with another edition. I hope in the meantime, all of you have a fantastic week as we come up on next week's show, which will be happening on Thanksgiving weekend already. The time just flies by. Don't miss Kiefer and Curry this week. We'll be talking about another compelling subject like we do just about every time. Every time we have compelling topics. And of course, the show on Saturday morning here in Birmingham, ABC 3340, 1030, Kiefer and Curry's starting lineup with an all-star cast of people to get you ready for the college football weekend. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.